When we begin to scale agility, how often do we make one of the biggest mistakes in the books that undermines our efforts to gain agile cohesion at scale? In this episode of Unlocking Agile, Agile coach and DEI engineer Sarunya Mboka-Boyer sits down with us to talk about developing agile ecosystems as opposed to scaled agile silos.
Unlocking Agile is brought to you by Scrum Inc. The world of work is changing. We pioneered that change. Scrum Inc.'s adaptive, scalable process teaches organizations and teams how to thrive in a world where change is the only constant. We partner with organizations large and small at every step of their agile journey. Better yet, our customized approach consistently produces high-performing and self-sustaining agile organizations and teams. Training that empowers, transformations that work. Contact us at scruminc.com.
We'd like to welcome everybody back to the latest episode of Unlocking Agile, brought to you by Scrum Inc. Again, I'm your host, Bobby Woods, and today we're welcoming back Sarunya Mboka-Boyer. Sarunya comes from the world of international development aid and humanitarian assistance, and she now works as an Agile coach and inclusion engineer at Scrum Inc. Welcome back, Sarunya. We're glad to have you here.
Hey, Bobby. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
So today, what we're focusing in on is something that you and I have discussed on a number of different occasions, but this is really something that you've been highlighting to people, to clients, and bringing more education, even within the walls of Scrum Inc., around the concept of agile ecosystems. And so can you start to just dive into that a little bit? What is an agile ecosystem, and why do we suddenly find that there's this imperative nature for it to be there?
Sure. And I wouldn't be a good agile coach if I didn't get into a soapbox and go to explain the why before actually telling you the what of an
agile system. We'll pass the soapbox back and forth.
There we go. And so I'd like to start off with a quote by a guy named Andrew Graves. And in the context of agile ecosystems, or ecosystems of agility, as they're also known, he says, to drive sustainable agility and continuous improvement, an ecosystem must be built and maintained at an enterprise level.
Okay.
As we go into this conversation, I'll start off by defining an ecosystem. What is an ecosystem, right? Yeah. As we talk about agile ecosystems. The simplest definition of an ecosystem is that it's a community or group of living organisms that live and interact with each other in a specific environment. Or in a more general way, it's a complex network of interconnected systems. And this is where I'd like to start today. A common challenge that most companies, organizations face when trying to lead agile initiatives or any kind of transformation is the lack of an agile ecosystem. Essentially, the fact that there is not an ecosystem to contain agile presents a challenge. Pockets of agility being the idea that as when a company goes agile, we're only going to have agile teams, but we're not going to have agile leadership. We are going to have an agile shared services team, but we're not going to have agile finance or HR.
Sure. And that's the way we see a lot of those things typically happen, right?
Exactly. And so really those pockets of agility present one of the biggest risks to a company's ability to leverage agile processes, leverage its key asset, which are its staff and individuals, to ultimately deliver the outcomes and desired impacts. Remember, it's not about outputs. It's about how do we have outcomes that facilitate the impacts in the short term, medium term, and long term that we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And agility, unlike an invasive species in a natural ecosystem, is not something that can flourish without deliberate care or visibility. Hmm. We need an ecosystem of agility for sustained success. And if you wouldn't mind, Bob, as I get onto an even bigger soapbox, and I promise to give you a moment to speak, so jump in whenever.
I'll jump in. Go ahead.
I want to talk about five specific things that lead into an agile ecosystem. And I promise by the time I get to the end of it, you will have clarity as to what an agile ecosystem is.
Perfect. That's what we're looking for.
Cool. So in order for an agile ecosystem to be created, first and foremost, mindsets must change. I talked a little bit about having an agile mindset for leadership. Leaders and C-suite must start to adopt an agile mindset, leveraging the Scrum values of openness, commitment, respect, and courage. Because without these, it's going to be challenging for leaders to steer their organizations or their staff to the desired end state. So when I talk about those values, leaders need to commit to the process. They need to commit that they understand what they want and what they're asking their staff to go through. Staff cannot be left on an island to do this themselves. Staff cannot be the only ones making the commitment. Leaders need to be open to change and adapt, and need to be open with the idea of being wrong and needing to refactor and shift. Leaders need to focus the company on the what and why. They set the priority. They need to respect the opinions and views of their staff, the technical excellence of the people that they've employed to be able to deliver those outcomes to help get to that impact.
And you mentioned that, sorry to interrupt you, you mentioned that they have to be comfortable with being wrong. Boy, that's a big hurdle to have to overcome, you know, in favor of agile ecosystems. But like you said, it seems like it's critical. We have to all be okay with being wrong.
You know, and that leads into the fifth and final value, courage. Leaders need to have the courage. It's almost like I wrote that, right? It's almost like I planned ahead of time. Leaders need to have the courage to try and fail. And when I say fail, it's not the common conception of messing up.
Sure.
Fail being the first attempt in learning. And I'd like to give a shout out to Mrs. D. Rhoda for introducing me to that very concept.
Absolutely.
When we're able to look at failure as attempts for learning, growth, and adaptation, we're able to have more innovative and sticky solutions. I feel like we could probably end the podcast here, right? It's just leadership. It's just leadership that needs to change. But if we go down to the next level, the second thing is that people, the staff, need to understand the what or the end state and why they are doing things from a company perspective. What is the vision? What is the mission? Understanding these two things will make it easier for staff to engage and ultimately own the change in their specific part of their ecosystem or their environment.
Yeah.
So essentially, they need to align.
Yeah. And so, you know, when we've engage different organizations and they kind of have those pockets that you're talking about. They've got a department here and an A team there. What are they missing out by not expand? What are they missing out on by not expanding within those ecosystems and just kind of, you know, shooting it on kind of a whack-a-mole of agile adoption?
So I think the key thing that they're missing out is staff engagement. Because by being able to create an agile ecosystem, let's use human resources, for example. Human resources as a shared resource, as an organ within an organization that touches all different factors. If the idea is that only HR has gone agile, that means when it comes for salaries to happen, when it comes into the strategy in terms of who we hire, the other elements of the organization are not thinking. They're not aligned in the way that the organization's agile human resources department is. So HR may be saying, we want to make sure that we're hiring people who are T-shaped, folks who have a depth of knowledge and folks who have a breadth of knowledge. But if the strategic team doesn't understand what that means or the value of having cross-functional staff, HR can be as agile as they want, but that's not going to lead to better outcomes and ultimately impact at a company of having the right people who are cross-functional and who are able to do the work. That brings me, Bobby, to the third thing. Organizations must empower their staff. And it's not only about empowerment. In order for an ecosystem of agility to flourish, folks must be given the opportunity to step into their agency. And what do I mean by stepping into their agency? Trust the people that you've hired to do the work that you've hired them to do. Trust.
Shock, shock and awe.
And if you ever forget as a manager what it means to trust your staff, trust equals commitment plus delivery. If people are committing to things and they are delivering, you should trust them. And if you don't, perhaps there are conversations that you need to have with yourself in terms of why you're unable to trust the people that you're paid, that you're hiring to do work. And now specifically, let's look into, before you create a high performing agile ecosystem, you need to have what I call, or in the development world, we call an enabling environment. Mm-hmm. In the business world, there is this concept of a business enabling environment, which includes the norms, customs, laws, regulations, or basically external realities that affect a product's ability to be successful within its particular value stream or value chain. But when we talk about an enabling agile environment, it's the idea of what are the internal environments that which are needed to be able to enable transformative change. So in the simplest terms, an enabling environment facilitates the change or transformation. Agile HR is a key function. Agile finance, agile leadership. Agile HR, I gave the example previously. Agile finance, traditionally or in previous life, finance relies on the idea of we're going to make budgets for the next 5 years. The pandemic, the recent changes to the stock market, to the global value change have let us know you are doing yourself and your company and your team a disservice if you are trying to do traditional waterfall financial planning. We need to make sure that we're agile and we're adaptive with our planning. Agile leaders, if there is one thing in addition to trusting your staff, maybe two things, it's the idea of not leaving folks on an island, but also you don't need to guard and control information. You've hired technical experts, leverage them, trust them, and empower these individuals to manifest their agency. And so you really need an inclusive and representative staff. If you're working in software in Sri Lanka, hire some end users from Sri Lanka or do some human-centered design. If you are working in Michigan, make sure that you're hiring people who are local to that environment, because the innovation that they are going to bring with them will help your market be more successful and help your operations be a little bit more successful.
When you talk about those ecosystems, and you mentioned things like HR and finance, and you start to see, because those would be separate departments, right? But the ecosystem would be an HR department who's trying to adjust themselves to be able to hire in a more agile way, to be able to incentivize in a more agile way, to grow employees in a more agile way, retain employees in a more agile way, and that impacts finances.
Yes.
Right. And so it's not just about your HR department becoming more agile. It's about the ecosystem that delivers value long-term that includes both HR and financial areas, potentially procurement. It could be different areas that all impact one another. Because if you just have the HR department doing it and the finance department knows nothing about what you're trying to accomplish or how you're doing it, then to your point, you can only be so agile with what you're trying to accomplish. You don't have full system in place.
That's it. And really, one of the ways I've come to this, I think, is because of my background working in international development, is that idea that it's most important not to just get to work, but to do the pre-planning of figuring out what your ecosystem is, figuring out what your environment is. And that requires essentially systems mapping, inclusive of VSM or value stream mapping, but it's not solely dependent on it. When you do systems mapping, you look at, you must understand what the communication flows are, who the different actors and stakeholders are. Actors are folks that don't directly affect your system, but may indirectly do. The government, the federal banking system, that may be an actor. The stakeholders may be your specific donors. We want to make sure that, you know, these value chain is, or value stream is mapped. We want to do outcome mapping, making sure that the key outcomes of the current system are changed if they don't align with the new direction of the company, or are maintained and scaled if they do align. So ultimately, Bobby, when we think about the concept of an agile ecosystem or an ecosystem of agility, thank you for this opportunity for my long-winded soap. It's simply the idea of figuring out what your internal systems are.
Yeah, yeah.
And how they align, support, and or facilitate the transformation or the agile change that you want to make within your organization.
Yeah, there are far more connectivities there than I think people realize. Right. And I think even leadership realizes that at the highest level, you know, there you have this kind of traditional way of looking at an organization, which is I've got my individual departments. They all have individual things that they're working on. But all the interdependencies that are involved in those areas. I mean, they're just, it's almost too numerous to count. And then an organization doesn't understand why they're so slow in operating. It's because those interdependencies have very poor connections. Imagine if like our brain, which has all these interconnections for electricity, right? Suddenly started siloing itself in different areas. And I know there's going to be brain experts out there that are saying, well, it does. And so, I understand. I get it. But you know what I'm saying with across the synapses firing different areas. We'd like to see our company fire synapses like that too.
Imagine if your brain stopped talking to your legs and said, hey, walking, that's not my problem.
There you
my
go.
Just to think.
All I got to do is think.
or in another, just to stick with the, I suppose, like nature reference, we can kind of look at it as a coral reef within the ocean, the Great Barrier Reef. That's an ecosystem. It still exists within the ocean. When changes happen in the ocean in terms of water temperatures, the coral reefs are dying. The ocean isn't.
That's right.
So we can look at ecosystems of agility and pockets of agility. Each department, each function, operations, HR, programs, that's our proverbial coral reef. And the enterprise or the organization is the ocean or sea that houses it. And so actually a really interesting question that I got right before coming on this podcast, Bobby, was really the idea of SMB or Sarah Unia, you're saying that in order for an organization to go agile, we need to make sure that you have an ecosystem of agility. But what about if they just want to go agile or have agility in one section? Should we bring everybody in? And to that I say yes, because agility is not the idea of having scrum teams or safe teams or Kanban teams. Agility is a way of being. Agility is a mindset. Yeah. So at the enterprise level, leadership, if you're paying for it, if you're asking people to go through it because you think it's going to help them achieve the outcomes that help deliver the impact of your company, you need to plug in. Department leaders, even if it's not your team or it's not your direct reports, if there is something happening in your ecosystem, it behooves you to know, because what is going on may either positively or negatively affect the other team/animals in this proverbial ecosystem, and ultimately at the team level. Whether you're the team that is being trained in agile methodologies or agile frameworks, or you're the team that is going to be affected by the fact that this other team is saying no to your request more because they said, we're running a sprint, I'm so sorry, we're prioritizing. So it really is, even if it's one team that is going through an agile training or agile facilitation, similar to the New York Marathon, the Boston Marathon, or the Chicago Marathon, you have your friends, your family, your partner, and even your dog helping you prepare, making sure that as you hit those mile markers, you keep pushing and you keep going.
Yeah, because really at the end of the day, when you think about the idea of just having, you know, agility in one part of your company, like you're talking about, it's so much more than usually what they mean by that is I just want them to use Scrum, or I just want them to use Kanban or use Scrum at scale or something like that. Whereas other parts of the company don't have to. So a lot of times they don't understand what it actually means. It's like saying, I really only want one part of my organization to be high performing. You know, that's why would anybody wind up saying that? They want their whole organization to be high performing. And so when you take it in that context and you think in terms of ecosystems, then saying that that part of the company would be the only one I want to have to do that, you're essentially saying they're not part of any other ecosystem. They're completely siloed and away from the rest of the organization. And that's never the case. They're tied to HR. They're tied to finance. You know, they could be potentially tied to marketing or anything else like that from a departmental perspective. But when it comes to, you know, the mentality of, oh, we're just going to have everybody do it all at once. No, we're not having everybody do it all at once, but understand that you're undertaking a journey as an organization. And the best way of approaching it is through these ecosystems and all these interdependencies. And that's essentially what I'm hearing.
Yes. Ultimately, at the end of the day, when we have an internal enabling environment that facilitates an ecosystem of agility or an agile ecosystem, what it really does is it allows staff to be asset-minded, to say, based on where I sit within the organization, these are the positive things that I can take and I can share with other people. I can radiate out.
Yeah.
So if you are a proposals team or a new business development team, you want to make sure that the sales folks, the technical folks that you're working with, they understand what you're going through and they understand how this process has maybe made your life easier, how it can make their lives easier. If you are working in a strategic office, part of your role is to make sure that the annual strategic plan or five-year goals are understood by everybody in the organization. So by having an ecosystem of agility that helps you play with the animals from communication, you know, the animals from operations, the animals from whoever delivers the delicious lunches to corporate.
Not calling anybody animals. It's just an analogy.
Not calling anybody. But again, we're talking about ecosystems. So
right,
yeah. Not to call anybody out about animals, but we are using a metaphor for this conversation. So it really is the idea that by being able to radiate out agility in a context appropriate and context specific way will facilitate greater ownership of agile methods, concepts, and frameworks by staff. And ultimately, that's when true change happens. It's not when people read a book or when people watch a LinkedIn or Coursera video or, you know, see a trainer's smiling face for 3 to 5 days. But it's when that person sits with their team and they said, you know what? Actually, I like the fact that we plan. I like the fact that we refine. I like the fact that you ask me how I'm feeling during the day. Let's do more of this. That's when these things start to take hold. And that's when you have environmental and ecosystem change for the positive, because the people, the individuals, the organisms that are in there are saying, I as an asset, I add value. This framework, working in this way, helps me to deliver that value in twice the time, and in a way that's visible, empowering, and sustainable, not only for myself, but for those around me in my ecosystem and in my larger environment.
Well, as always, pleasure to have you on and help us to wrap our brain around the concept of agile ecosystems. Cool. I would like to assume we're going to have you back. Is that safe to say?
I would hope so. I would hope so. Thank you so much, Mr. Woods.
Fantastic. Appreciate having you on. I appreciate everybody joining us for the latest episode of Unlocking Agile, brought to you by Scrum Inc. Thanks for joining us.